in the land of the ice and snow. My name is Heather, and today we are two Texans talking because I have John from all over Texas, I'm going to guess, with the way you described it to me. Howdy. So, John, where exactly have you lived in Texas?
I started in San Marcos in about 1984, 85, and then later ended up back in Chicago, but then I moved to Austin during the tech boom. Mm-hmm. And then from there, went to Virginia, then came back. I keep coming back to Texas, but I ended up in, let's see, Austin, Round Rock, Pflugerville, Plano, Frisco, Dallas, and San Marcos, that area. And I've been down in SA quite a few times. And my daughter went to Texas A&M Galveston. She's an Aggie.
Aggie,
to be specific. Yeah.
I was going to ask, did she go there because she's into, marine biology or ocean?
No, specifically marine sciences.
Okay,
marine biologists
that's fascinating.
Want to play with the fish. She has a degree in ocean and coastal resource management and a minor in ocean geology. She's a mining company dream, but she won't work for mining companies. So she runs a dive shop in Plano. One of the top dive shops in Texas. Actually, one of the top dive shops in the U.S. They have a dive pool so deep you can actually get one atmospheric pressure out of the bottom of it.
Wow, mm-hmm. That's pretty deep.
Yeah, it's built into the dive shop.
Very
where
cool.
I trained with her, so I became an advanced diver and a rescue diver. She's a dive professional, but I'm not.
Wow.
Oh, Galveston was like my second home for the longest time. Like, my daughter going to school there was my excuse to anytime I wanted to just find a reason to go down to the island.
So we've gotten with everywhere you live in Texas. So What brought you to Sweden?
Okay, this is a fun story. So let's say that it's 40 years ago, because it was. I just dated myself. My mom worked for YFU, Youth for Understanding. She was an area director for a foreign exchange student program. This was her side gig. It wasn't a paying job, but for years, I grew up with exchange students coming in and out of my house. Some of them stayed with us for a year. I mean, they've all become family over time. And this one night, this is a fun story. So this one night, like, my mom is up at 10 o'clock at night. She never was. And she's like, I have to go to the airport. And I'm like, okay. Okay, whatever. She's like, I need you to take care of yourself tonight. I got to go pick up this girl. And I'm like, okay, what? She's like, I don't know. Something happened with her host family in Upper Wisconsin.
Okay.
We're talking like a town of 500, Wisconsin. And she's coming down to Chicago where I live. And I'm like, okay, whatever. She's like, get yourself to bed and I'll see you in the morning. I'm like, cool. So she splits. I, watch MTV forever. And then crash out. And when I get up in the morning, this is not totally true. I walk downstairs. I turn the corner into my kitchen, this old 1950s house. And there's this like super cute blonde staring into my kitchen going, what do I eat? Now, at this time, I had no idea what Swedes ate, and I didn't even know who she was or if she was Swedish. I'm like, oh my God, look, there's a super hot blonde in my kitchen. Thank you, God. It was really funny because she's like, do you have yogurt? I'm like, yeah. And then she looked at my yogurt and went, no. Do you have crackers? I'm like, no, not. I told no idea what I was showing her was offensive. She's like, fine, I'll just make do with this. And my mom's like, I got to go to work, leaves. And I'm sitting there in this kitchen with her. And I'm like, what do you want to do? And she's like, well, I don't know. So we started talking and we just start getting along. And getting along started turning into something a bit more. And then it started becoming like a real crush. And So this one day we're out Christmas shopping because she gets a cold and can't get on a flight. Basically, she got the light version of the Chicago flu. Can't get on a flight. So now she's stuck with my family for 3 weeks.
And we're like,
all right, this is cool. I'm happy. No one else knows why. And we go shopping and I finally worked up the effort to kiss her. And I did. And it turns out that that was not only the kiss, it was the first real kiss for both of us in our lives. And it happened going up an escalator at Lombard Mall outside of Chicago in Illinois. And we carried on a quiet little crush for about 3.5 weeks until she left. Now, she kept in touch with my family for a really long time because we've kept in touch with all the exchange students. And she kept in contact and things kept going on and on. And eventually I ended up being married and she ended up in her relationship. And we stayed in contact with her and my sister and my family. And we all came back and forth. And as my family was traveling the world, she'd meet my parents places. And she would come and visit us occasionally. And when I was in Texas last, I was living in Plano. She came down to visit us with her partner, and I realized I was jealous. So my ex-wife and Lotta both know each other. They're friends to this day. And they're almost twins. And this is how this gets weird. So she shows up and I realized I'm jealous. And my ex was like, oh my God, you're actually jealous. I'm like, yeah, I really am. I've never seen her with anybody else. And it was a surprise to me. Now, I had seen her for years. And so had my ex-wife, and they became friends. Right. As a matter of fact, the day that I met my ex-wife, the very first words out of my mouth were, oh my God, she looks like Lotta. And they both know this whole story. So I always said that if anything ever happened in my marriage, that the first call would be Lotta. So 2 years after breaking up, and my wife, ex and I broke up as friends, we were just headed in two different directions in life. So I waited about 2 years and I got a hold of Lotta and she's like, okay, what's going on? And we started chatting online. And at one point she's like, okay, are we actually going to talk? Or are you just going to keep bullshitting me? And I mean, she's blunt that way, blunt, yeah. Sweet. And I'm like, okay, I think I'm still in love with you. She's like, you're nuts. I'm like, no, I'm not. I swear to God. I think that I still have my high school crush on you. And so we talk. We keep doing this for a while. So we agree that I'm going to be in Florida for 6 weeks with my roommate. So I leave Tampa, Florida, drive all across Alligator Alley, all the way over to Miami to meet her, to drive her to the Keys, to live on a sailboat for a couple days, and then stay in a B&B on Key West, and then go back to Miami for a couple days to see if this would actually work. And the last day, we're... getting up in the morning, I have to drive all the way back and I have to leave before she does. So she's got about 12 hours before she has to be at the airport. She walks me down to the car. I'm driving away and she's standing in the street crying. So being a dumbass romantic that I am, because I'm a hopeless romantic, I literally stopped in the car, didn't turn it off, left the car running, threw open the car door, walked half a block back, kissed her and hugged her in the middle of the damn street in the middle of Miami, told her this wasn't the end and that it was going to be okay. Walked back in the car, cried on my way back to Tampa for 7 hours. Went back to Texas, and she called me as soon as she got back to Sweden. She says, when are we meeting next? And I said, I have this great idea. I have been riding I've put over 200,000 miles cross country since I was 18 years old. I've owned 5 bikes. I've written a movie about motorcycles. I've been involved in motorcycle culture. I'm not an MC person. I'm an independent, but I've been involved. And if you saw me in my full gear, patched up leathers, the whole thing, you'd get it. And I'm like, I got an idea. You know that I have the bike thing. She's like, yeah. Why don't you come down here? Because my daughter's on Galveston. She hasn't seen you in a while. And the motorcycle rally's going on in Galveston. I said, why don't we go so you can see this part of my life? So we get an Airbnb that turns out to be an RV in Texas City. And it's a really nice freaking RV. And Lotta's like, where are we staying? I'm like, well, we stayed on a sailboat last time. Now we're staying in that.
Yeah.
And we're going to go to a motorcycle rally on an island in a few minutes. Right before this, I started watching this TV show, Welcome to Sverige. Welcome to Sweden, the TV show. First time I saw it, I called her. And I'm like, this is hysterical. And then I started finding out, this is actually more of a documentary than you know. So there's a scene in this where they're both brushing their teeth and the lead female character proposes to her husband, right? 2 days into the motorcycle rally, we're in this RV brushing our teeth and she literally looks in the mirror at me and looks at me and goes, you want to get married? And I'm sitting there going, did you literally just mimic the TV show? She's like, yeah, because if you weren't going to ask me, I was going to ask you. It was word for word what happened. And I'm like, okay, cool. Let's do that. This is how it happens with Swedes, I guess. So I eventually come to Sweden for a summer. And I'd already applied to become a citizen, to become my visa here. And right. Totally, for some weird reason, never got the email for my interview. Well, it turns out that they actually never sent the email. But what they did cause was me to come here for a full summer. At which I spent at least 2 weeks of that sailing on the Baltic on a friend's sailboat.
Oh, nice.
Really secured the deal right there.
I can imagine. You
know, scuba diver, Baltic Sea sailboat, and she's got her captain's license and has sailed with the same group on the same set of boats for over 30 years.
Oh, wow.
So I'm all of a sudden all over the place in the Baltic for a summer, and she was living in Växjö at the time. So I am in my first summer in Sweden. And I'm in Småland. And we're looking at glass books, because I'm a huge glass fanatic. As an artist, I've worked in glass and metal for over 10 years. We start going, she's like, I have this whole idea. We're going to go hit all these little glass books all over the place, all these little artist places. And we're going through Smolin, and it looks like a fairy tale to me. Like, the landscape is straight out of, like, you know, some children's book. I'm like, this is really cool. She's like, I need you to turn down that gravel road. I'm like, no. She's like, what? But we need to go there. I'm like, why? I'm like, we're turning down someone's driveway. She's like, no, we need to go there to get to this little glass shop you want to see. I'm like, that's not happening. She's like, well, I don't get it. I'm like, you don't understand. Where I'm from, you get shot. No, that's not a... She's like, but it's a road. I'm like, no, it's not a road. You get shot doing this shit. She's like, what is with you people? I'm like, what do you mean with the entire state of Texas? No, I'm not driving down that bullshit dirt gravel pot-picked road to get to some little house down the street that you tell me is someone's glass factory. I'm going to fucking get shot. She's like, no one has guns here. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you that. Fine. But this gets weirder. This all happens in like literally a couple days. So I'm like, fine. So we go there. Turns out to be a really cool spot. So we keep going. And then we end up hiking in the woods because, you know, Sweden and nature. But I'm like, okay, so poison ivy, poison oak, poison sumac, snakes, what? She's like, none. I'm like, what do you mean none? I'm like, wait. She's like, no, there are no poisonous plants. There's no poisonous animals. I'm like, rabies? She's like, we don't have rabies. You mean I can just clearly walk through the woods and nothing's going to hurt me? She's like, no. And you can eat everything too. I'm like, I feel like Hansel and Gretel being lied to at this moment.
Oh,
Go down the weird gravel road. Sure, you can walk through the forest and eat anything you want to. I'm waiting for the evil witch to come out and throw me in the oven at this point, going, this is not possible. So let's talk about living in Sweden.
Yeah, so let's go through quick differences that you noticed the most between, well, since we're both Texans, we'll go through Texas and Sweden. Pros, people don't talk to you when you're shopping in Sweden, and I like that because I'm so sick of going into a store and having people talk to me all the time when I just want to shop, and I hate going to restaurants in Texas. This is more of a U.S. complaint than Texas, and the waiters come and refill everything every 30 seconds so you can't have a conversation. So I really like it in Sweden that I can keep quiet and just shop and eat and nobody bothers me.
Amen to that
one. I think that's a pro for Sweden.
Mm-hmm. Hell yes.
Your turn.
I like that every little square, every little other stop down the line, I get a fresh farmer's market.
Right. All the nice little fruit and vegetable stands,
like,
and markets.
I am
squares.
In love with my guys. Mm. They know who I am. I met them, fell in love with them 5 years ago. They know where I live. So I live in Blackieberry, and it's kind of an interesting little place. I don't know if you've ever been to where I live, but...
Oh, yeah, I have.
Okay, so do you know Blackieberry Torg?
Not very well.
I can see Hemsherp out my... I can see the grocery store out my kitchen. So I'm, like, literally on the square. Or just tucked behind it. So what I love is that my gym's there, my farmer's market people, my grocery store, my little biograph. It's just this little community that we all know.
Yeah.
I've got an amazing baker just go up behind my house, walk down the pathway, I get Firm Bakery, and they make fresh buns and for every like weekend. It's just a path all the way down to these guys.
I have a friend who dates somebody from that area, and he's been talking about this bakery.
About
I think
bakery?
I've got to go check it out. Yeah.
You have to. I'm pushing them on your podcast. Firm
That's
Bakery.
That's fine.
Find them.
I like tips.
And the other one we have Robert E. Chocolate. Now, Robert E. has been a sort of known chocolatier in the area in Sweden for a while, but he's kind of disappeared. This is the story that I heard from my foodie friends. And he kind of disappeared, and then he opened up a shop about 3 blocks from me. It's in the bottom of one of the apartment complexes here. Custom chocolates all day long. So I've got this amazing freaking bakery, an amazing group of people who do fresh fruits, veg. I'm getting eggs off of Ervisa. I'm getting everything I want. I've got Hemsherp that does all my basic supplies. It's all super close. My gym's across the street. And the whole time COVID's going on, I'm getting all of this. And all my friends in the U.S. are like, I hate you, you sick bastard. And I have a forest behind me where I go orienteering and hunt mushrooms. I'm like, what do I like about here? Absolutely everything.
Oh, yes. I love that you can go out and get, I mean, certain time of year, you can go out and get apples, pears, berries, the cantaloupe mushrooms. I mean, you can eat for free, basically, in the months of August and September.
When did you get here, just out of curiosity?
2000.
Oh, so you were, like, way before me.
Oh, yes.
You got, like, the, from what I've heard, that's kind of like the prime time to get here.
Do you think? I don't know about that, because when I came, you didn't have like FaceTime, things like that. Yeah. It was a lot harder to keep up with people. You did have email, but not everyone had email at that time. Mostly yeah. people in college. Yeah. So it was hard for me to keep in touch. It still cost a lot to make phone calls long distance. Yeah, yeah. You know, it wasn't free like it was. And then it was difficult to meet people. There were a couple of forums, but there was no Facebook or anything like that. So it was difficult to find people. It made it very hard to make friends and to network. So I think maybe 5 years after, maybe 2005 would be more the sweet spot to come in to make it a little easier. Because I remember thinking later, God, this would have been a lot easier for me if I had had all of this kind of technology.
Yeah, if technology had been better at the time.
Oh, yeah. Plus, the food was terrible when I came here.
Whoa.
What? And it's gone through so much.
Banana curry pizza?
I know. Can you imagine?
Oh, yeah, sure.
No, yeah. But we've really gone through a food revolution in the last 20 years. Now the food here is excellent. But excellent.
Let's be Texans together and let's talk food in Sweden. I specifically have a bunch of very foodie friends because I'm a huge foodie. I'm a baker. I've worked professionally in the kitchen. And I decided to have them over and I decided to make actual chili, not ground beef bullshit, not what people think it is. I mean, I sat there and made the original paste and ground it up and cooked the meat down. These motherfuckers were like, I thought it'd be spicier. I'm like, do you have any idea what the hell I just spent 8 hours doing? Because there ain't a ground anything in this. This is all whole meat. 8 hours of
and it's not about spiciness. It's about the flavor.
Do you know how many times I have to tell people chili doesn't mean beans?
And that's very much a Texas thing.
But then I made the God's gift to Swedes. I made my great grandmother's from Georgia cornbread recipe.
Ooh,
I had to have
nice.
Cornmeal flown in, and I can't get buttermilk here. So I had buttermilk powder flown in from another from the U.S. so that I could actually make true buttermilk cornbread that thick and 4 sticks of butter involved. Bowl of freaking hot, spicy, but won't burn your head off chili. All meat, no beans, and a big, thick slice of freaking buttered cornbread right beside it. Just
I'm happy to come to your house for chili and cornbread.
Anytime you want to come, I'll make it up again.
I'll appreciate
it. It just takes me a day.
To say, I think the Swedish people are very fascinated by American politics. I would say that most of my Swedish friends are probably more interested in this election than I am. But something without talking specific politics that maybe we could talk about is, did you vote from here? Okay, let's talk about that process.
Yeah, let's do that. So the first
because
time
I find it difficult.
It's extremely difficult. So the first time I voted from the state of Texas.
Right. Same here. It's usually whichever state you lived in last before you move. That's the state that you're supposed to vote in.
Yeah. So I got this long form email and I had to print out this weird single page. But this was specifically designed for 11x17 American Legal. So we get the library here involved and use their printers to get anything that we could get cut and trimmed to size. And it took us 3 days. And then I had to pay all this weird postage and create all this weird envelope system. And there's no tracking on it. I just don't know if it ever even got there.
Well, for me, I was able to go online to find where I can request my ballot. But I have to send that through postal mail. I'm not allowed to request it over email. I actually have to get the address, put it out, send it on a form to request it. Then they come on my email and say, okay, you've been approved. Now print out this ballot and print out this security envelope. And of course, you know, I don't have a printer that prints envelopes. So I'm just kind of cutting things out and taping them to envelopes inside another envelope. They make it so difficult. And the same problem that the ballot looked crazy because of the way that they send the pages. And I'm trying to adjust it in my system. And then again, I have to send it through postal mail. And there's no confirmation that they've received anything.
And so I asked the simple question, why can't I just go to the embassy? Like, I can, in the U.S., I can go to my daughter's high school and vote there. Why can't I go to the U.S. embassy?
That's what I'm saying.
They can scan my passport. They can they can verify me 8 ways to Sunday. Why can't I vote at the... It just didn't make sense.
I know. I don't understand that either. And I think a lot of people, a lot of Swedes assume that we go to the embassy to vote. And I have to tell them, yeah, that would make sense, but it's not an option. And I don't understand that either. It seems like that would be the
simple way. But it turns out other countries do.
That's probably why they think that we do.
Yeah.
You know, in Sweden, I feel like a lot of things are a lot more advanced. Even though there's a lot of bureaucracy, I feel that it's more computerized and more advanced. Mm-hmm. I mean, as you know, in Sweden, we get our ballot cards in the mail, and then we just go. You can go before election day or on election day. It's nice and simple. You just go, you pick out your little things to vote, 3 little things. You go up, show your ID, go and vote, put in the envelope, show it again. There you go. You know, nice and simple, just like the taxes where we just get something in the mail that says, are your taxes okay? Does this look right? Yes, it does. SMS. It's right. I'm done.
If you ever want to talk in the US. Something Sweden has worked out well.
Oh,
it's
yes.
Swedish taxes.
I wish this was this easy in the US.
And my American friends are like, wait, you still vote? I'm like, yeah, of course I still vote. An expat doesn't mean I lost my citizenship.
Right.
I still pay taxes. I'm still voting. I still have to keep a U.S. address. And I have to pay just to be here. So they're like, wait, we pay like 24% tax. And I'm like, yeah, you want to throw another 20% on top of that?
Yeah.
I basically throw over half my check away.
But I have to say here, I feel like, yes, we pay high taxes, but I see where it's going. I actually,
actually
get the benefits.
Does something.
Yeah, I don't have to save up for college for my kids. I don't have to worry about getting sick and healthcare or surgeries, things like that. And the roads are well kept up. You know, all the public services are very good, in my opinion. And nothing's perfect, but it's very good. And I'm totally okay with paying my tax money here. And the problem with filing for the U.S., number one, is the amount of forms and paper and how confusing it is. And that we still have to do it by postal mail.
And you have
also,
to pay someone to do it for you, God forbid. You make one mistake.
This is why I don't want anything left in the U.S. Because if I have funds or anything going on over there, then it makes the taxes a lot more complicated. I've done everything I can to try to keep that away from there. Because if you make under a certain amount, you still have to file, but it all equals zero.
It is really a unique situation being an expat.
Oh, we have got to wrap this up because we've been talking super long and I got to edit this thing.
All right. This has been a blast. I should probably let you go. We could keep this going for hours.
I got to eat at some point, you know.